I've always been the one to say the first goodbye.
It's the AA show, an augmented apathy show, man. For May 1st, 2024. How's it going? Oh, I missed the episode the last 2 weeks. Well, I was going to record and then life happened. I got exhausted, so it's just, I couldn't even put the compilation episodes together because it was so busy. I got to be honest, I just came back from Toronto. And then the city driving on a Friday, man, it was a 7-hour drive. That was exhausting. And then came home Saturday. And then I passed out Sunday, mostly. I think in total, I ended up driving about 12 hours in 2 days in 24-hour period. Oh, my God. Yeah, it was a 12-hour drive in 24-hour period. You know, it was more than 24 hours, 36 hours probably. But you get the idea. It's like you spent a third of my 36 hours in driving, and it wasn't just a straight line drive, and I just go, dude, it wears on you. I gotta be honest. I just go more than I realize. Maybe I'm getting older. I don't have patience, which is why I'm getting to the topic I'm gonna talk about today. And then, by the way, this is the first episode that I'm legally no longer single. I really thought about recording an episode about, this is the last singles episode, man, let's look back on it. And then I was just like, well, 365, you know, and the 370 something, including the half souls that I had, are whatever, in my singledom. And then I was just like, well, does it make a difference? Do I want to talk about it? And I just go, nah, not really. Well, but again, legally it happened. So this is officially the first episode as a hitch person. And I just go, oh boy, taxes are going to be fun next year. Combine it together and do it. I just go, but BK, the transparency and communication matters. Yes, it does. But also, it's a lot of work doing it all alone. But I leave the conversation next February when we do the taxes. I do it early whenever I get all my documents. And then I have less shit. But I'm sure she's waiting for her documents coming in like mid-February or something, end of February. So I got to wait for that thing to come in. I want to file it early. You know, to beat all the scammers, and then just get, you know, IRS and whatever the taxing body association, the revenue agency there is, you know, as early as possible so I get hassled less, you know, and like unlike these people who just filed it about 2 weeks ago. But I understand, you know, some people are waiting on things. Life is busy. You know, I'm fortunate. I'm privileged to do it that way. Anyway, speaking of the privilege, the fucking Toronto Maple Leafs. I listened to my old episodes from 2021, 2022, 2023, after the first episode, right after they get eliminated. And I'm recording this right now, the Tuesday, the 30th in the morning. And I'm going to come back after their game and then, you know, just put a bow on it on top. But I listened to what I said, 2021, 2022, 2023, which I'm going to share as the rest of this episode, hasn't really changed. I got to be honest. And I've been saying the same thing for fucking 3 years at least at this point, which is, one, they can't do it. This core cannot do it. You got to get rid of half of them. The only change from last year is that I really thought Austin Matthews is not going to resign. Even if you resign him, he's going to be dictating his own pace to do it. And now you got nobody you can trade because all the core four have a no movement clause except two, whose contracts are coming up after next season in 24-25 season. And my position right now is, you know, whatever happens tonight and then however they get to Game 7, barring a miraculous turn of psychology and living up to the fucking potential, I just go, look, the core four cannot do it. And then below the core four, the rest of this team has no fucking defense, no fucking depth, no prospects despite whatever late round picks that these like scouts, the Dubas era, has produced, which is absolutely nothing, and then a very shoddy and very unpredictable goaltending. And then I just go like, this is a recipe for finishing mediocre at best. And nothing matters at this point unless other than a Stanley Cup. Final appearance is not good enough for me. Because if you have a historic goal scorer like Austin Matthews, who's probably going to break Ovechkin's record at some point, if you got a historic playmaker setup guy like Marner, if you got a If you got a guy with that much swagger like William Nylander, who can, you know, use his size and speed to do things, and John Tavares, who's on the downside of his whatever long contract here, I'm not going to get into the argument of that because I just go, you got him when you thought he was in his prime, and he executed to his prime, and by this time of the contract, you thought the rest of these big four, the three young guys at their prime, are going to pick up some fucking slack, and they haven't. They haven't. They simply haven't. And injury, virus, whatever. But then again, one thing I did not mention the last 3 years is how this team mentally caves when one guy goes down or one guy is not showing up and performing. It's just unbelievable. It's been 9 playoff series. 9 years since when Marner got drafted. And then I just go, Marner's a whipping boy, blah, blah, blah. And I just go, he's a whipping boy because he's performing the least, in my opinion. Oh, he scored a goal inside. I don't give a shit. He's just looking around, looking for calls as if things are going to change after 9 years in this fucking league. And then, like, BK, why are you so biased for, like, Nylander and Austin Matthews? And I'm like, Austin Matthews showed that he can use his size and whatever to create opportunities as best as he can in Game 2. I really thought Game 2 against the Bruins, Austin Matthews played his best all-around playoff game in his entire fucking career in 8 years. He did. He did. Then he caught this virus. And I had to, like, clap back at these people going, like, oh, Austin Matthews quit already. Dude, that guy's not a quitter. That's... Like, people at that caliber are not going to quit that way. The way he gave up that last goal in that game 4, when it became 3-0 just before the end of the second, he's not getting off the ice. It's like, something's wrong with him. To a point where they had to pull him off the ice in the third period. And he's doubtful going into this game 5. And I just go, fucking A. Then I don't blame Austin Matthews for that at that point. And then Nylander came back for whatever migraine and thing he had. All these fucking knuckleheads are going like, oh, you fucking, you can't deal with a headache. And I'm like, you play at that fucking level, motherfucker? If you have a beer league and have a migraine, are you going to fucking show up or are you going to stay home? You going to show up for that midnight game? No, you ain't. And then, you know, and then that leaves to Marner. And then I just go, look, am I picking up Marner? I would sound like that, like the rest of the team. But it comes from the justification, which is like, look, this guy has not adjusted his game other than like in some odd games that the Leafs are scoring left and right, which is like, oh, Leafs are just imposing their will for some reason. The other team, usually the Bruins, don't show up or something. But the fact that this guy has not figured out how to get open, create plays, dump and chase, using his finesse and speed because he doesn't have a size is unbelievable to me. Nylander came back game 4 and then is already like not just like trying to move the puck to like he was kicking the puck to create plays and stuff. He was very decisive seeing the ice, but rest of his line mates aren't fucking there to pick up the fucking slack. And I just go, what the fuck? And I just go like, this is why every time I look at Nylander, I just go, he's elite. He's been their best playoff performer the last 3 playoffs. Playoffs! How do you get rid of this guy? And then, he knows how to create the entrance into the offensive zone that the rest of the team ain't figuring out. Which comes back to the coaching also. They don't play dump and chase. They try to create something, trying to penetrate, half-ass walking into the offensive zone through the blue line. And I just go like, they're cowering. And then 2 Bruins just collapse on them. And then just like, oh, fuck. And then shit's over. The Bruins are more on top of it. They practice this. You could just see it. Wow. They just double collapse on whoever is on the puck. And then just intimidate them. And then make them panic plays. And then I don't blame Ryan Reeves for giving up the puck on that first goal on Saturday. Because I just go, the Bruins played a ridiculous pressure that Reeves had nowhere to fucking throw it other than hanging onto the puck by himself. And then everyone's going to do, why didn't he get it out? And then the fucking mouth-breathing morons saying all that shit. And I just go,
You know what?
The fact that, like, it's this team has... is I keep looking... Nylander coming back and people go, oh my God, is this going to get the offense going? I just go, bullshit. Bullshit. How is one guy going to make that difference? You're a big four because three of them could pick up the slack. John Tavares, he's out in my opinion. He's too old now. His prime days are done. And it's also unfair for Tavares to get all the blame when he came here knowing that this side of the contract is his winding down years. Which is why I like people are just blaming and getting rid of him. It's like, he's not going to go. He's going to stay till the end of the contract at this point. Does he come back after? I don't know. He still wins faceoffs. What else does he offer? I don't know. Is this going to be Patrick Marleau? I don't fucking know. But this coaching staff has failed to adjust no matter what they say. And I've seen Sheldon Keefe on that Amazon Prime All or Nothing show and like calling out like Marner and Matthews and like, you are getting fucking outplayed in 2021 playoffs. Yeah. Seen all this shit already. Yet, you know, even if they somehow miraculously get past the Bruins, I just go, how are you going to play the Panthers? How are you going to play the Rangers? How are you going to play any team on the Western Conference, whether it's Dallas, Vegas, Colorado, whoever? I just don't see it. They don't have the depth. They don't know how to adjust. They had 8 years to adjust, and they have not. And I just look at it and go, like, from the financial standpoint, they're, like, they're tied up. And then do you just ride it out and let $24 million of the cap space walk? And I go, you could do that. Then next season is a lame duck season. But I don't think you want to do that. And I just go, like, for God's sakes. It's just, like, there are a bunch of people that are going to be gone, and I'm sure we'll talk about it next week. And I'm not going to get into that right now. But I really, really, really would try to find a way to trade Marner. I really would. I can't see anybody else moving. I really can't. And I think the Leafs management knows this. This is why I said 3 years ago when you had a fucking chance, you'd have traded him. Whether Nylander or Marner. But Nylander was a better size. He's a better player. They should have made that James Harden call 3 years ago and say, we're going to keep these two. And then some, you know, like, and then could be, look what you could have done with that $12 million money. I know it's awfully, awfully Monday morning quarterbacking. You don't have Nazem Kadri. You couldn't have kept him for 4 years. I'm talking about his contract before the Flames that he got last year, the 7x7. You got rid of Hyman, they offered 4.5 and he took 5 and something and whatever. So if you had that and Nazem Kadri, you know, my God, he makes his knucklehead elbows and all these like pesky things, which are useful, but also again, like you get your team suspended and you get suspended. And I just go like, look, is that him or is it the environment? I'm leaning towards the environment of lack of coaching and lack of leadership. Because he didn't do that shit in Colorado. He was very, very helpful for Colorado Avalanche winning the Stanley Cup in 2022. You could have used that. Zach Hyman. Better guy to get in the dirty spaces and then like take the beating in the crease. Then fucking Marner or William Nylander, whose strength is not in the fucking crease like Hyman. Could have had him. Right now, if I had Hyman and Kadri over Marner, I would have taken that in any day. You added two players for the same amount of money or less. This is a kind of like lack of like foresight that Kyle Dubas had, and then he was too close to his boys to like not let go of that fucking hubris of his. And they're paying for it. And I think Brendan Shanahan made a right call to not renew that contract, but also it's just like, bro, this ain't working, bro. And then I think Marner needs to be talked and then say, you're going to get traded, give us the teams. And then he can dick around and not move. That's all his choice. But then I also go, I don't think it's in his nature to do that. And I'd be like, you make trade. Leafs are going to have to force to make a trade with teams who are also competitors who need to fucking change up scenery. Because Vegas, Carolina, Dallas, I'm just naming teams, Colorado, all these competitors aren't all going to win the Stanley Cup at the same time. And they're always going to always look for some cap relief and a management. And I have a bunch of ideas, like many other people online. But I go like, look, I don't think Marner's going to be like, I want to be here, but if I have to be traded, here are the places I want to go to. He ain't going to fucking Anaheim. I'm sorry. And I don't see anybody on that Anaheim roster that I just go like, I want to take. He ain't going to fucking Utah, Phoenix, Coyotes at this point. He ain't. Is he going to go to Seattle? I don't know what the fuck you can get out of Seattle, given how the fuck they played. You know, lacking the same grit the Leafs are lacking right now. So you see where I'm going with this. It just go, you give Marner a choice, and he's going to pick all the contenders. And you got to pick the contenders who's willing to dance with you and a trade partner. And again, I said this last year, you will not get the equal to equal value at this point. But he's going to fetch at least two, hopefully three, depth players who can come in and play. Because this team, especially in the defense, is utterly lacking. They got nothing. TJ Brody's been overplayed. Mark Giordano got overplayed. Edmondson is overplaying his minutes. And I just go, fix that shit. Jake Muzzin, fucking Cody Ceci, all these fuckers who aren't even playing in the league right now. Or like, all meaningless. So anyways, I'm going to stop my talk here. You know what? I'm not going to replay the rest of the audio for the last 3 years. You can go back and listen to those. And I'm going to come back with the magic of editing and see what transpired. Okay? And just like that, we're back live, everybody. With the magic of editing. Toronto Maple Leafs won the game 5. In overtime, Matthew Knight scored 2-1. I was a little more impressed, but you know, especially with Austin Matthews being out, whatever illness he's going through. But I also kind of go like, God damn it, this is like, why do the Leafs always do this? They just like, what did the one of my friends said? The Leafs are always edging, and they never deliver. Look, man, this is the longest edging, and never getting the money shot at the end of the day for how long now? 57 years? And I just go, this is the worst. This is the worst. Do I think they can win? I don't know. I mean, every single fucking game in this series for the Boston Bruins, you know, Leafs outshoot them. But then none of them are real quality shots unless they get deflection or get lucky and shoot high over Swayman at this point. So I just go, anything can happen. They can go back home, Toronto, Game 6, and get destroyed again in Game 7. Because I'm like, I've seen the fucking rodeo before 11 years ago. They were up 3-0 in that 2013 playoffs. And I will still never forget that. I think that was a lockout season, so I think I was out of the hospital watching it. Something like that. Anyways, so, and again, like I mentioned earlier, even if they miraculously come through and get past this round, I really can't see them beating the Panthers. I really can't see how they compete against the rest of these so-called cup contenders at this point. Because they're clearly lacking depth. And barring a ridiculous hot goaltending of Joseph Woll, whom I don't understand why the Leafs haven't really started him that often. I was like, oh, it's an injury problem, blah, blah, blah. Why the fuck did you draft him then? Same as Matthew Knight. Why the fuck did you draft him if you're not going to play him? Which is why I said in the beginning of the series, like, gotta play him more. He's a young, bulky guy who can deliver, you know, as needed. You got Tyler Bertuzzi, all those. And then Max Domi winning so many face-offs. I was shocked. I just go, well, where the fuck was he this entire time? Why aren't they using him even more? See, this is why it makes me question a lot of the coaching and lack of adjustments that I've seen over the last 3-4 years at this point. But anyways, I don't think my assessment of this team really changes. Even if they win Thursday, get it to Game 7 this weekend, I'm just like, whatever, man. You get past this round, then you face Florida Panthers next. Are you going to avenge them with a roster you got, with a bunch of people beat up left and right, you know, through this series, or whatever illness and migraine they go through? I don't fucking know. But either way, I just go like, prove me wrong. And I just can't. So anyways, I'm not gonna even bother being edgy, like edging anymore, because I just go whatever. None of this changes. Let's see where they are when we come back into the next episode. I'm sure I'm gonna have a post-mortem of this in the beginning of the next episode. So have a great rest of the week. Go Leafs, go. This is a painful relationship between me and the Maple Leafs over here. And then we'll see you next week. Peace out.